on this issue. They were saying, yeah, if you're going to pour billions of dollars into stuff, you should really make sure that it will survive. And this administration is rejecting it.
Well, we're going to go through that deck of baseball cards, and we're going to post that online at democracynow.org. Who are the people in the administration? What do they represent? John Nichols, political writer for The Nation, his new book out today, Horsemen of the Trumpocalypse, a field guide to the most dangerous people in America. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
KB Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Massage and Wellness Weekend, Saturday, September 9th and Sunday, September 10th, at the Oregon School of Massage in Portland. Massage and Wellness Weekend is a weekend of celebration of holistic living, community engagement, and massage. Free events including community education classes and continuing education for massage therapists. Again, that's Massage and Wellness Weekend, Saturday, September 9th, and Sunday, September 10th, at the Oregon School of Massage, 9500 Southwest Barber Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Have you received your KBOO Silent Drive letter in the mail? Here is your chance to support your favorite community radio station and enter a chance to win some fabulous prizes. No letter? No worries. Go to kboo.fm to find out more about what you could win when you donate to KBOO between now and September 14th. Here is a teaser. The grand prize is a week stay at El Dorado Resort and Casino with airfare in the biggest little city in the world. Yes, that's Reno, Nevada. The first prize is a night out on Burnside with a night at Jupiter Hotel, with dinner at Le Pigeon, drinks at Cedar Riot, and breakfast at Grendel's so you can dive deep into the Burnside nightlife. And our second prize will allow you to stock up on medicinal and recreational treats at Jane PDX. Go to kboo.fm to donate. When we come together, we build our community's resilience, and there is no better time to invest in KBOO than now.
You're listening to KBO Portland.
The time is now 5:01 p.m. That means it's time for your Tuesday evening news.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council will consider additional sanctions against North Korea after it fired a missile over Japan.
KBOO's Al Khan offers commentary on Trump as the puppet of our wealthy corporate overlords and urges us to awaken from our technology-enhanced stupor.
And we replay recent audio recordings by the fabulous Revolution Choir, a local group of 20 singer-songwriters who perform original songs dealing with social justice issues. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, August 29th, 2017. I'm Tony.
And I'm Kyle. A Salem woman was sentenced yesterday for strangling a 9-week-old puppy in January of this year. 44-year-old Megan Lafferty pleaded no contest in court on Monday and was sentenced to 1 year in jail, followed by 2 years and 4 months in prison, on charges of attempted harassment and first-degree animal abuse. On January 30th, Lafferty was invited to stay with a neighbor after her apartment suffered damage from a fire. While at her neighbor's house, she inexplicitly strangled the neighbor's puppy, stating as she did so, "I am God, and I am here to end his misery." Police had to physically remove the woman's fingers from around the puppy's neck, as she refused to let go even after the animal was dead. A psychiatric evaluation at the Oregon State Hospital determined Lafferty was unable to assist in her own defense and was a danger to herself and others. She is said to have become socially isolated and paranoid in the weeks prior to the puppy strangling incident.
With all the devastation caused by Hurricane Harvey, one might think that the people who are still suffering in the aftermath would have enough problems, with flooding, property damage, and injury, as well as the cleanup to come. There is another problem to deal with: large rafts of fire ants. When floodwaters drive these fire ants from their colonies, they form together by locking jaws with each other and grabbing with the sticky pads on their legs. This forms them into huge floating masses comprised of millions of insects. These rafts will drift until they reach solid ground, where the ants will set about establishing a new colony. The problems arise when a person who may be wading through the water unwittingly comes into contact with one of these rafts, as the ants will swarm the individual, delivering venomous stings that affect the nervous system and can trigger allergic reactions or, in some cases, hallucinations. The good news is they have an Achilles heel. Dish soap will break up the surface tension on the water, causing the ant rafts to slowly break apart and sink. Normally, the rafts can stay afloat from 1 to 3 weeks before eventually sinking. Major dish soap brands have yet to capitalize on this unexpected new use of their products.
Police nationwide will be armed with $4.3 billion of military weaponry. Police arsenals are now being expanded. The new additions include grenade launchers, bayonets, and heavily armed vehicles. After the overextension of power in Ferguson back in 2014, the 10-33 program which allowed the Department of Defense to supply police officers with surplus military gear was restricted by Obama. However, on Monday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that the White House was planning to continue the 10-33 program. Now that the restrictions on the 10-33 program have been reversed, the police will be more armed than they have ever been. Only time will speak for what the future has to offer.
A Colorado man who told police that a black man stabbed him in the hand because of his haircut has been found to be lying. 26-year-old Joshua Witt has been arrested on charges of falsifying a police report after admitting he lied to officers, saying a black man stabbed him because his haircut is in a style favored by white supremacists. Witt reported to police that his attacker came up to him as he was getting out of his car near a restaurant and accused him of being a neo-Nazi before attacking him with a knife. Police found a homeless man nearby who matched the description Witt had given. However, Witt failed to identify the man in a lineup. Surveillance footage taken near the scene did not show anyone running away from the area. When police re-interviewed him, Witt admitted to making up the story after accidentally cutting himself with a knife he had purchased from a nearby shop minutes before. If convicted, he could receive a fine of up to $2,650 and a year in jail.
And now, a lesson from Hurricane Andrew from our friends at Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. 25 years ago, Hurricane Andrew destroyed a housing camp for migrant workers near Miami.
In the day prior to Hurricane Andrew, Everglades Labor Camp had 400 trailers and approximately 300 residents. In the day after Hurricane Andrew, there were fewer than 6 trailers standing, surrounded by approximately 50 acres of bent and twisted metal.
Stephen Kirk is president of Rural Neighborhoods, a nonprofit that provides housing to migrant workers in South Florida. He says luckily, everyone had been evacuated. But the disaster showed how important it is to protect migrant workers when hurricanes strike. But doing so can be a challenge.
Most do not speak English as a first language. Most do not subscribe to a newspaper.
So it can be hard to warn them of approaching storms. And when a hurricane hits, migrants' legal status can be another barrier.
They're fearful to even approach someone or go to a shelter.
Hurricanes are expected to get more intense as the climate warms. With nearly 200,000 migrant farm workers and their families coming to Florida each year, addressing barriers to evacuation is more important than ever. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
The United States Food and Drug Administration has made a breakthrough decision to allow the use of MDMA, the drug commonly known as ecstasy, to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. A protocol has been established for phase 3 clinical trials of the drug, with the goal of helping shell-shocked war veterans, victims of sexual assault, and other forms of violence to recover from psychological damage. The trials, which will combine psychotherapy with pharmacological doses of ecstasy, are expected to begin next year and wrap up by 2021. The Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies announced the decision with a press release last Saturday. Patients under the influence of MDMA are reportedly able to access painful memories and work through them more readily than they normally would. The FDA decision seems to set the stage for legalization of MDMA as a prescribable pharmaceutical.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a Diversified Media Enterprises production. I'm Doug Cunningham. Tired of working for Mickey Mouse, low wages, 38,000 Union Disney World workers began negotiations Monday for living wages. Wages are the only topic at the bargaining table. These Disney workers average about $10 an hour now, and the unions want a path to a $15 minimum wage. The unions got Disney to improve wages in the last contract, and these talks are a scheduled wage reopener to see further improvements toward a living wage. Ed Chambers is president of UFCW Local 1625 and also heads the Service Trades Council of six unions representing the approximately 38,000 workers.
Disney's first offer was not a bad offer. I mean, they came out suggesting 2% for the employees at the top at every level and during the scale at 2.5%. Our proposal was pretty significant wage increase across the board. We asked for labor grades, which would mean every position would be in a labor grade and there'd be a scale so that employees would be coming at one rate. At 90 days, they would go to a rate. At 1 year, they'd be at one. At 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and 5 year at a top out.
Chambers says Disney is bargaining in good faith. He says other employers in the hospitality tourist industry in Florida pretty much match Disney's pay scale, so more union density in Florida would help all workers get living wages.
Disney World, everybody else just matches, and it doesn't help the union situation. It doesn't help the overall economy. We need to get some more hotels and resorts and the hospitality industry covered by collective bargaining so we get a little competition, and then we can do the standards that we have in a lot of other places in the United States.
The small group of target workers in Christiansburg, Virginia, ended their five-day strike yesterday. They've returned to work without retaliation from Target. Their actions got Target to investigate a manager accused of sexual and racial harassment of workers. The workers are demanding the manager be fired. Adam is with the New River Workers Power, a small independent workers committee.
We've kind of already won in a way, and we're just going to keep up the pressure on them and make sure this guy gets kicked out, and we want to keep our jobs and we want to build off of this and start talking to workers about next steps.
Bryn Farrell is a New River Workers Power member.
We're in a more rural area of Southwest Virginia. There's nearby a university town, and the next town over is where this Target is. So there's a strong mix of red and blue. But the reality is labor is not a red or a blue issue, it's a community issue.
The news is brought to you by IMPACT, the Iron Worker Management Progressive Action Cooperative Trust. IMPACT's mission is more jobs for contractors and for iron worker members. You can become an iron worker in Washtenaw Community College's pre-apprenticeship program. Finish 24 credits at your own pace and become an iron worker Local 25 apprentice. Earn while you learn. Apply now at wccnet.edu.iron. That's wccnet.edu.iron. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit workersindependentnews.com.
And now, Labor History in Two with Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1941. That's the day 2,500 steel workers at the Prest Steel Car Company near McKees Rock, Pennsylvania, walked off the job. It was the second walkout in 2 weeks. Workers effectively shut down production of armor plate for the Navy, shell forgings for the Army, and railroad cars used to transport military material. The company had gone back on promises of holding a collective bargaining election. Steelworkers Organizing Committee Sub-Regional Director Abe Martin told the Pittsburgh Press that while the union had not called the strike, workers had, quote, walked out themselves because they are fed up with the company's discrimination against them. SWAC had been trying to organize the plant for years, but the company had engineered an election for a so-called independent union 18 months earlier when the complex was only operating at half capacity. Workers walked out at the beginning of the month and ended their strike on the guarantee that negotiations for a new election would begin. But when they returned, they found that some were stripped of their seniority, while others were forcefully transferred to new departments. The day before, machine shop workers on the afternoon shift were fed up and dropped their tools. Word spread throughout the evening, and by early morning, picket lines were solid and production had come to a complete standstill. When the company tried to force reopening of the plant after Labor Day, 1,500 workers formed picket lines at the gate to stop scabbing. They returned to work 10 days later in compliance with a request by the National Defense Mediation Board. The NLRB rejected SWOC's election petition 2 months later, but SWOC persisted and won exclusive bargaining rights the following June.
Now we hear from our colleagues at Native Voice One for the weekly headlines at National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Community members in Fargo, North Dakota, gathered Monday to remember Savannah LaFontaine Graywind. The 22-year-old went missing for more than a week before her body was found Sunday in a river. She was 8 months pregnant when she disappeared. A newborn baby, believed to be Graywind's, was found alive last week. The Grand Forks Herald reports Monday's vigil included jingle dancers and a ceremony. Vigils were held Monday in tribal communities in North and South Dakota. Another public vigil is planned to take place at the North Dakota State Capitol Wednesday, as Native communities across the country plan to hold services to honor Graywind and all missing and murdered Indigenous women. Meanwhile, officials held a press conference Monday saying two people, William Hone and Brooke Cruz, face a number of charges in connection with Graywind's disappearance. In the town of Durham, New Hampshire, a mural depicting a Native American has sparked controversy. Jason Moon from New Hampshire Public Radio reports.
At issue is one image in the mural that was donated by local residents in the 1950s. It shows a Native American crouched behind a bush eyeing a colonial cabin. He's carrying a bow and arrows, and in one hand is a flaming torch. The image is titled Cruel Adversity. Some town residents and people of Native American heritage find the image derogatory. Kathleen Blake, a member of the New Hampshire Commission on Native American Affairs, says the image ignores the many acts of aggression committed by European settlers.
I mean, it could be the other way around. The cruel adversity could be the settlers in the garrison house rather than the Native people who already lived here.
Blake wants the image removed or covered. But others, including town councilor Feroz Kotrock, says the image is nothing residents should be ashamed of.
We should be taking pride in the Western civilization. We should be taking pride in our local history. And I don't think white males have anything to apologize for.
The Postal Service says it's against policy to remove artwork in post offices. They have offered to install interpretive text to accompany the mural. For now, the issue is on hold while the Commission on Native American Affairs decides whether they want to weigh in on the interpretive text or keep fighting for the mural's removal. For National Native News, I'm Jason Moon.
A South Dakota school has announced the naming of two locations on its campus in honor of Native Americans. As Jim Kent reports, Black Hills State University will recognize the well-known Lakota educators in a ceremony this fall.
Black Hills State University will designate the Jace DeCorey Center for American Indian Studies in recognition of the recently retired professor's research in the areas of American Indian women, elders, art, and traditional healing. The Lionel R. Bordeaux Library is named in recognition of the educator's academic and personal achievements. Bordeaux has served as president of Syntyglushka University on the Rosebud Sioux Reservation since 1973 and is a 1964 graduate of BHSU. Black Hills State University President Tom Jackson Jr. says the school's location lends to its association with Native American cultures.
We feel a natural connection to the spirituality of the hills, and we believe as an institution we're the caretaker, the institutional caretaker for the Black Hills. So having a connection to the Native people of this region is just a natural extension of who we are as a university.
With the highest retention rate of Native students in South Dakota, Jackson notes that tribal members who attend BHSU stand a very positive chance of attaining their degrees. 5% of the student population at BHSU is Native and includes tribal members from South Dakota as well as Wyoming and Montana. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth report on local musical collective, the Revolution Choir. At 6 on the Queer Boo Corner, it's Preference with Alan Silver. That's followed at 7 p.m. by Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight's weather, crystal clear with a low of 69 in Portland, a low of 62 in the Dalles and Hood River. Cloudy and a low of 52 along the coastline. Tomorrow's weather will be partly cloudy, with temperatures hovering around 81 degrees in the Portland metropolis, mostly sunny with a high of 84 in the Dalles, and clouds and rain with a high of 62 near Lincoln City. Today in history, the infamous Hurricane Katrina blew ashore in Louisiana back in 2005. Our quote of the day is from Black author Zora Neale Hurston's book, Their Eyes Were Watching God. Love is like the sea. It's a moving thing, but still in all, it takes its shape from the shore it meets, and it's different with every shore.
An emergency meeting at the UN Security Council will consider possible new sanctions against Kim Jong-un's regime tonight. This comes after sirens sounded in Japan as North Korea fired a missile over the country early this morning. The city of Tokyo warned citizens in the north of the country to take cover while the event occurred. Japan's warning system kicked in, advising people to take precautions as the missile headed towards land in an escalation of Kim Jong-un's military posturing. The missile broke into three pieces and landed in the sea. It flew for around 1,700 miles. The Pentagon confirmed the launch. An envoy from Pyongyang later accused the U.S. of driving the Korean Peninsula towards an extreme level of explosion. The launch also prompted a warning from China that tensions on the Korean Peninsula has reached a tipping point. British Prime Minister Theresa May is among those saying she's outraged by North Korea's reckless provocation in firing the missile over Japan. The Prime Minister says she strongly condemns what she calls these illegal tests. She is still taking off for a three-day visit to Japan today. Mrs. May will arrive in Kyoto tomorrow from London and plans to join Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on a train to Tokyo, where they will discuss trade and defense.
Next, we have a report in from the International Middle East Center and Palestine today.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imc.org for Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. Israeli air attacks leave 7 injured civilians in Gaza as troops invade West Bank communities and injure 2 civilians. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Israeli Air Force fired missiles on Wednesday at dawn into several areas west of Gaza City and Beit Lahia in the northern part of the besieged and impoverished Gaza Strip, wounding at least 7 Palestinians, including one who suffered a serious injury. Medical sources said that soldiers injured 7 Palestinians, including one who suffered life-threatening wounds after the army fired missiles into two areas northwest of the Gaza Strip. The attack also led to excessive damage to several homes and structures near the targeted sites. The sources added that all wounded Palestinians were moved to Al-Shifa Medical Center west of Gaza City and that one of the injured remained in critical condition. In addition, the Israeli Air Force fired missiles into a site north of Beit Lahia in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, causing excessive damage to buildings and several surrounding homes. In a statement, the Israeli army said that the attacks came in response to a homemade shell which was fired from Gaza into the Hof Ashkelon Regional Council during the late night hours but landed in an open area, causing no damage or injuries. Elsewhere, dozens of Israeli soldiers invaded on Wednesday at dawn the Dehesh refugee camp south of Bethlehem and abducted two young Palestinian men after shooting them. Media sources said that the soldiers fired dozens of live rounds during the invasion and abducted Abdelaziz Arraf and Raed Salahi after shooting and injuring them. The Israeli army said that one of its soldiers was injured during the invasion after exchange of fire with Palestinian fighters. The Palestinian Prisoner Society, PPS, has reported that Israeli soldiers have abducted on Wednesday at dawn at least 25 Palestinians, including children, during massive military invasions and violent searches of homes in different parts of the occupied West Bank. In other news, dozens of Israeli soldiers accompanied by bulldozers invaded on Wednesday morning Palestinian agricultural lands in the Al-Jaba' village southwest of Bethlehem in occupied West Bank and bulldozed them to conduct military training, local sources reported. And that's all for today from the IAMC News. This was the Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.iamc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
And now here's commentary by KBOO's Al Khan.
Let's begin for a moment talking about Mr. Trump, but we are going to go much deeper. Trump, as we all know, wants us to think he is a billionaire, but in truth, he only plays one on TV. However, he is terrified of this being known. I suspect this is one of the many reasons that he won't release his tax information. The research I have done, while none of the information is absolute, leads me to believe this man is millions in debt with actually no personal wealth of his own. This makes him a very malleable person for the true rich, the ones that George Carlin once aptly called the owners of this country. These are the people that decided we shouldn't have a good school system, because the last thing these people want is a populace that are able to think for themselves. So they just teach to the test and pass them through. Now we wonder why there's a shortage of teachers in this country. And now what do the uneducated do? Not too many choices. A job at a fast food restaurant, maybe a car wash. Or if you're a young man of color and you see the gang members selling drugs, making thousands of dollars while your baby sister is starving, what choice are you going to make? Then it's only a matter of time until you are another victim of the prison industrial complex. The other option is to enlist in the military, to fight in our country's endless wars, and maybe die, and to add to the fortune of someone that could care less about you. Trump is not the cancer that we face. He is merely a side effect. The owners have just finally decided that they cannot be stopped and found a perfect puppet to advance their agenda. These are the people, just to name a few. The Koch brothers, the Waltons, who are the owners of Walmart and worth over $145 billion. Yet the people that work for them still need to use food stamps to survive. And the Rothschilds, who are in control of almost every bank in the world, and they claim to have a staggering fortune of $500 trillion. These are the ones that are trying to divide us. Black, white, brown, Christian, Muslim, Jew. It's an age-old strategy, divide and conquer. Give people something to hate, which will distract them from the real objective. This was the tactic of Hitler and Mussolini. Our government is controlled by these people, the big pharmaceutical companies, the big oil companies, the big energy companies. And these are also the companies that control the mainstream media. Only six companies really control the information the average person receives. Do you think the wars being fought in the United States are truly about our freedom, or even about oil or other natural resources? No. These wars are all for profit. If there is no war, there is no need to keep making weapons. So there would no longer be a need to spend over 56% of the total United States budget on arms, money which could be used to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure or to house the millions of homeless that we have in the supposedly richest country in the world. The country isn't rich. 1% is, while the rest of us make some sort of a living, and many just barely keep a roof over our heads. God forbid a tragedy where a couple hundred dollars are the difference between the comfort of a place to live or the streets. However, it's now much easier to distract the populace. Everyone is so busy staring at their smartphones all the time that human interaction seems to be a thing of the past. Now is the time, my friends, to wake from the stupor that the ones who want to own us have put us in and realize what these people really are. To explain, as I see it, these people have a deep, dark hole inside them. They are terrified to look at it. A greed that has burrowed so deep inside them that their humanity is lost. No matter how much wealth they amass, no matter how much power, no matter how many possessions, that hole will never be filled. These people have sold their souls, and no amount of money will ever buy them back. I'm Al Khan, and I thank you for your attention.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Please call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Al Khan, Tony LaTigra, Annette Newell, and Zion Bro. Our producer is Zelis Marchant. Our engineer is Wesley Seway. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelis Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News and on Instagram at KBOO Evening News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Tony.
And I'm Kyle. Coming up tomorrow in KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Rowland. At 9, it's Political Perspectives, and they take a look at the life of Stokely Carmichael, also known as Kwame Ture, who popularized the cry of Black Power and transformed from a civil rights activist to a pan-Africanist and socialist. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Intersections Radio aims to connect communities through unique and unexpected stories. KBOO keeps you informed and involved, and we need your help. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Tonight, we listen to a special replay of the Revolution Choir, a one-of-a-kind collective of musical individuals with a love of harmony and dedication to social change.
Welcome to another KBOO News In Depth. This evening, we have special guests in the studio. Tonight, we are featuring the Revolution Choir. They are a group of 20 super fun and energized choristers that sing original compositions about progressive political topics that are on the pulse of our nation. They sing powerful songs in four-part harmony about subjects such as equal pay for equal work, climate change, gerrymandering, income inequality, money in politics, LGBTQ rights, Black Lives Matter, honoring women, and many other important progressive values. They recently opened For Good in the Hood. They are founded and directed by Kevin Levy. Welcome, Revolution Choir and Kevin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So good to be here at KBOO. Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for coming. So how long has Revolution Choir been around?
You know, I think we're coming on 5 months.
I'm really shocked about that.
Yeah.
I feel like I think we've talked a little bit about this. I feel like there's got to be several years under your belt so far.
You know, our singers here, like, they just sound amazing, and they're just pulling it together, and just a lot of great friends of mine, and
awesome.
Have great vocal cords.
You're making waves, 5 months.
Tidal cord waves.
So you're going to regale us with a song or two or three. What's the first song?
Our first song we are going to do is Overworked and Underpaid.
All right.
When I wake in the morning, I just lay in bed and close my eyes, 'cause my bones are so tired, I'm so tired, I can hardly think. Feed my kids, brush them off to school.
Was pretty fantastic. What's the next song? That was tasty.
One. We can have a Congress with a 12% approval rating and yet over a 90% re-election rate, and it is rigged so bad that is gerrymandering right there. A congressman can manipulate and draw those districts so evil that basically it makes them impossible to ever vote them out of office. So we must, if you live in a gerrymandered district, and thankfully Portland does not, but somewhere out there you are listening to this, vote for an independent commissioning district for fair, equal, and balanced voting districts.
we are going to do gerrymandering.
Something. All of you are so powerful. Tell our audience about the performances that you've got coming up. On
July 8th at the Laurelhurst Park, the Revolution Choir will be performing at 3 p.m. And we would love for you all to come and visit us. And you can actually get the invite if you just go to revolutionchoir.com and there's a direct Facebook invite. Or you could just go to facebook.com/revolutionchoir and find that invite. And we would love to see you there. It's going to be so fun. There's going to be an opening act going on before us. Resist Sing comes on right at 3 and we are following them. And we would definitely love to see you. And you're getting just a little taste of what we are right now. And July 8th, Laurelhurst Park. If you know where that duck pond is and that little dog park where that's off leash, and you can just go and check us out there.
I think our audience is dying to know whether there are Revolution Choir groupies at this point. I know it's early in the game.
That's a great question. All of you listening right now, you are our very first groupies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. So, Are you writing all the material yourself? Is that right? Everybody,
correct.
Do you have think tank sessions where you get together and you're like, what awful thing happened in the news this time that we need to write a song about?
It's a little bit of both. I love hearing feedback from certain choir members that just will give something off their heart. And then I kind of come home into my garage and late at night, pull up the guitar and start writing songs. And
I love that picture you just painted. Deep into the dark of the night after political corruption has happened, Kevin Levy composes songs of resistance.
That's right.
That's wonderful. Are there choral openings right now? Do you accept more choristers, or is it a special club? I don't know.
That's such a great question. If you are a first soprano, or if you are a deep bass, we would love for you to contact us. Kevin Levy, I'm the man. Contact me.
Okay. Great. Without further ado, let's dive into another song.
Our next one is Love Conquers Hate.
Don't you know that Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter.
I'm Zella Zellis Marchant. You're listening to a special in-depth featuring the Revolution Choir. Do you want to send us out on one final song?
We would love to.
Respect, just get out of her damn way. She is valuable, she is deserving. Show her full respect or just get out of her damn way.
Just tuning in, we're wrapping up a very special in-depth featuring the Revolution Choir. They are performing July 8th at Laurelhurst Park.
That is correct.
By the very beautiful scenic duck pond. And they have an opener who is
Resist Sing.
Thank you so much, Kevin Levy and Revolution Choir, for taking time to come in and sharing your songs of resistance with our community and our audience. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
so you can see.
Thank you.
And the time is 6:00.